Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
So just coming off a sweep of the White Sox, the Mets, who are not necessarily climbing themselves out of this big hole they gave for themselves early in the year. Talk about the Dodgers, too, since I'm here. But we'll get to a lot. But first, joined by Anthony Smith and Derek Bolio, alongside myself, Max Sanger. How you guys doing?
Doing good, Max. Everything's good this summer. Working with a baseball team up here in Syracuse. So getting my baseball in, not really watching as much Major League Baseball, but excited to talk about some of the Yankees today.
Definitely feeling good on my side. I think we've all got our stuff we're working with. I know both you guys working with baseball teams. I'm working with a soccer team, so we're all staying busy, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, unlike you, Anthony, even after I'm done with my baseball work for my team, I can't get enough Major League Baseball. In fact, I'm watching baseball at the same time, honestly. Definitely some stuff we can touch on. I think since both of you guys are partial to the Yankees, let's start there. I think for a lot of the season, right, they had kind of been in that battle with Tampa Bay, but now they've created a little bit of separation at the top of the division. They've got a 3.5 game lead in the American League East as of the time of this recording. Rays got swept in Los Angeles. They've actually lost, I think it's 14 of 21. And the Yankees, even without Aaron Judge, keep on keeping on.
Yeah, I mean, it's the June month, and I'm surprised that the Yankees really haven't been affected by that, to say the least. But, I mean, Aaron Judge not in the lineup, and the Yankees are still hitting really well. Cody Bellinger's been really good. Ben Rice and Paul Goldschmidt at the age he's at, he's mashing the ball. And the pitching staff has also been good, despite not having Max Fried. So positive signs for the Yankees so far in June.
Yeah, definitely. The June swoon has not hit, and I hope it stays away. But Max, I do want to thank you, as super evil has defeated kind of evil, and I'll take that win, I guess, as the Yankees, you're right, 3.5 game lead. Really happy about that. And like you said, Anthony, even without Judge, everyone's hitting, and I think that's a really good sign. The Yankees, over the past couple seasons, as my camera keeps glitching for some reason, have been very home run heavy. And while they are still using the home runs to win games, I think they had 3 last night and 4 the game before. They scored, 10 yesterday and 12 the game before. So they're scoring a lot, and they're doing it with home runs, but they're doing it also without them. It's kind of half and half the way they're scoring, and I really think that's a good thing for the offense. Every single player in the starting lineup got a hit yesterday and the game before. So I think that's a good thing that the lineup not only isn't too top heavy, it's also not too home run heavy, but they can use them when they need them. And I think that's really good, especially when you can hit home runs at home, but you can also go on the road and continue to hit even if you're not in a home run ballpark.
Yeah, you know, I think like one thing that's interesting to me to touch on, at least when talking about the Yankees, is that like I think we can all agree right now that like at least the National League is miles better than the American League in terms of like the competition that's there. I mean, even aside from the Dodgers, the Braves are really good. The Phillies look incredible. The Brewers somehow, as they always do, are at the top of the league. And then the Yankees are not by themselves, but is there only like one other team in the American League that has a record like above 500?
I think the Mariners are one game above. The White Sox are one or two above, and the Rays are obviously quite a bit above, but the Yankees are pretty much in a league of their own in the American League.
Right. And, you know, I would say that doesn't bode well for the Yankees, but as I was thinking about it, I was like, well, I think we would all agree even now that the Western Conference was way better than the Eastern Conference, and the Knicks won the NBA Finals. So, maybe to say, obviously it's different sport, doesn't work that way, but I've always thought that like the better conference, usually the team comes out and wins, but maybe lightning strikes twice, so to speak.
Well, more importantly, when we go into postseason play, I think the Yankees, I think they really have to handle the AL in the playoffs, kind of like they've been doing as of recently. I mean, they knocked off a pretty good White Sox team these past couple of days, beat the Guardians on the road in a 3-game set. Blue Jays, I mean, they're under 500, but they're always a tough team to beat because they just have so much talent everywhere. So, good signs for the Yankees in terms of beating good teams. They struggled a little bit at the early part of the season, but they've kind of kicked it into a second gear here in this June month. So I'm really happy where this Yankees team's going. And once they get those guys back, I think they can be even more dangerous in the AL and can really pose a threat to some National League powerhouses.
I 100% agree. It did take them a little bit to get that first win against a team above 500, and they were getting dogged on a little bit because they were the only team without it in like the middle of May or something crazy. I mean, it wasn't necessarily their fault. They did get swept by the Rays at the beginning of the season. That was entirely their fault. But every single team they played basically was either right at or just below 500. So it did take them a little bit. They got there, and they've definitely dealt with a lot of the teams they've played. They have had some difficult series, but it seems like they're also a better road team than they are at home. While they are playing well at home right now, the past couple series, they played really well on the road and they didn't really play that well at home. It's good to see that they're now bouncing back a little at Yankee Stadium, but I think it's a good sign that the Yankees are better on the road, in my opinion. I think that'll fare well if they're a lower seed, especially against if a National League team comes out and they're a higher seed and they have to play on the road against a National League team. But obviously that's way in the future and we're still in June, so it's not always good to think about October baseball at the moment, but I mean there's definitely some additions they're gonna need to make. That bullpen still terrifies. By the time Jake Bird comes in, I think we're gonna lose. But there's definitely some additions that need to be made, but like we've talked about, that American League is the Yankees to lose, essentially.
Yeah, well, I said earlier that it was a 3-game sweep of the White Sox. Actually, a 4-game series. They play their last game today, and then they play the Reds on the weekend. I think the one thing that's like interesting to me about the trade deadline, when we talk about acquisitions, is that I was listening to something. I don't remember what it was, but almost no team, even in years prior, is gonna want to sell if the standings keep trending this way, because the National League has all these teams that are like, hey, we're really good, we don't want to sell. And the American League has all these teams that are like, hey, we suck, but we're only 4 games out of a wild card because everyone else sucks, so we don't want to sell either. I mean, I guess eventually some people will sell. And bullpen arms come the trade deadline are a dime a dozen. So, and we saw the Yankees did that last year, right? Bednar, Duvall. I can't remember if they added anybody else on the periphery, but they were able to kind of revamp the bullpen and come the trade deadline. The offense, as we know, will be there. I think Stanton will be back well before the playoffs start, assuming there's no setbacks with Judge. He will be. So I mean, I think the Yankees will have as good of a shot as ever into the playoffs. But I mean, sometimes, guys, it just takes these teams like 10, 15 years to get in the playoffs before they come through. I mean, I saw it with the Dodgers. They didn't come through for 9 years. They choked, didn't come through in the postseason so many different times before they ended up winning the World Series. And honestly, even thinking about it now is that, quite frankly, maybe they shouldn't have won the last two World Series because it took a crazy choke job from the Blue Jays last year. And it took the Padres not scoring in 24 straight innings the year before for the Dodgers to actually win the World Series.
And I think kind of piggybacking on the trade deadline conversation, just for the Yankees in general, I think there's a lot of moves that could be made. And I thought within the bullpen, Cashman's going to find those arms that like of guys you've never heard of, and they'll come in and pitch like a 2.5 ERA. But I definitely look at the catcher position as something that has been struggling. Austin Wells obviously is not with the team because he's on a rehab assignment down in AAA, but the catcher position has really struggled throughout the year. It struggled a little bit in the early part of June, but both Escobar and Sanchez have kind of picked it up, but definitely would love to see the Yankees get like a right-handed catcher and like Ryan Jeffers from the Twins, and then some bullpen arms, and then I think they should be good to go. They could look at the position at third base a little bit. I know the Giants are trying to sell, and could pick up Matt Chapman, but I mean, we'll see what happens with when we get closer to that time and who's actually going to be selling.
It definitely does depend who's going to be selling, and it does depend how much the Yankees are willing to literally buy right now. And if it's going to be any year, it should be this year. And I like the Matt Chapman bring up. Ryan Jeffers was someone I was going to bring up as well. There's a lot of different pieces that you could probably go out and get. It's just how much of that farm system do you want to give away, and how much money are you willing to spend? Because you might have to get rid of some of your top guys, but if you end up with a loaded lineup that's top bottom really good, that bullpen is strong, and that you don't have to do anything to the starting pitching, especially if Max Fried comes back. Clark Schmidt, I think, should be back. Is it later this year or is it next year? But I mean,
Later
that's
this year.
like, that's like seven or eight. I didn't really, but didn't want to say six, seven there, but like seven or eight different like starting relievers that are starting pitchers that could be like at the very least a three or four on another team, and those are just extras on your team. So you could also get rid of some of those starting pitchers if you need to. You obviously don't want to get rid of some of those guys that you've had and that you've, worked with for years, or even that you've just acquired, like a guy like Ryan Weathers. But I mean, there's definitely a lot of pieces this Yankee team could get rid of and bring in with other guys. It just really depends on how much you want to spend at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing I would caution against is, just for me personally, I don't think you ever want to trade away starting pitching, because the old like baseball adage of it always works itself south, you can never have too much pitching, just always seems to come true for every team. Like, I mean, I know the Yankees have so many guys right now, and there are a lot of teams that are the same way, the Dodgers are the same way, but I'm telling you, by the time it gets October, there's going to be three of these guys that are injured, and it's barely going to be at the playoffs. I mean, the Yankees had a lot of pitching last year, and they gave up like a million runs to the Blue Jays in the ALDS, right? So I mean, you never really know. But honestly, I've talked about the Yankees in all these Nosebleeds podcasts I've done, so I'm kind of tired of talking about them. So let's move on to the Derek, you had some pretty interesting opinions on the All-Star fan voting, so why don't you go on a soliloquy there?
I think the all-star voting, like fan voting, has gone a little bit too far. I appreciate the notion of getting the fans involved, and I think it's fun having the fans vote on who they think should be in. But I think we've gone a little too far to the right, and I think it's going to be hard to recover. Alejandro Kirk has about 15 plate appearances this year, and he's the second leading voting catcher in the American League. That should not at all be the case whatsoever. Shea Langeliers leads the top, and I think that's right. But then there's more guys. Vlad Guerrero, very, very good player, should be top three likely in first baseman. He should not be first. Ben Rice should be first by a mile. He's first by 100,000 votes. Ernie Clement is in first. That makes sense. Jazz Chisholm's all the way down at five, and I think he should be a little higher, because just of how weak the American League second basemans are. But there's just a lot of different voting on here that just doesn't really make sense. The top three of outfielders right now is Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger should be up there. Aaron Judge and Mike Trout are interesting cases. Judge has been playing very well this season when he's been on the field, but he's been hurt for a couple weeks now. I don't know if he should be number one in outfield voting. Mike Trout, he's been having an okay year. He's not been having a year like Byron Buxton has been having, who's just below every one of those guys. It's just, fan voting is very interesting because you have teams that have such big fan bases. Like, you have the entire country of Canada voting for the Blue Jays, and it ends up with almost every single position has a Blue Jay, like either one, two, or three in every single position. Like, Kazuma Okamoto is number two in third baseman. Miguel Vargas is a better third baseman than him. Junior Caminero is obviously above all of them, and he's number one, which makes sense. But it just ends up like Andrés Giménez is number two in shortstops. That does not make any sense. George Springer is number two in designated hitters. There's just a lot of teams that have large fan bases where they get all the votes and everything. And I am saying this as a Yankee fan, which is kind of contradictory, but they do have in New York, you have the Yankees and the Mets, so it does kind of, well, it doesn't really split the votes because it's the American National League. But there's an entire country standing behind the Blue Jays, and there's entire fan bases standing behind where it just kind of ends up with guys who even have 20 plate appearances end up at the top. And I hope it doesn't end up mattering at the end, because I know that the number one vote getter in each league is a guaranteed a spot in the All-Star game. It isn't going to end up being Shohei Ohtani and Nordan Alvarez by quite a bit of a landslide. So it likely won't end up mattering, but there are just a lot of different voting. Like, there's one that is really – Alec Bohm is number two in third baseman. Alec Bohm,
Yeah.
I believe, is currently in AAA and has like a negative 0.7 war.
Yeah, that guy hasn't hit a ball in the air since the Reagan administration. He kills ants every time he swings the ball. It's crazy.
Yeah. There's just a lot of, I hesitate to say bad players, but players that are not number like top three in their position in their league that are at the top. Bryson Stott is number two in NL second baseman. Bryce Terang is below him. That, like, Luis Arraez is below him. Xavier Edwards, who leads the entire MLB in batting average, Ketel Marte, all these guys are. Nico Horner is number 10. Like, there's just a lot of guys that are really low for seemingly no reason.
And I think for me, one point that stuck out to me in the All-Star voting, specifically because I looked more at the American League, with Ben Rice, because he's been having a spectacular season. I think he's at 20 home runs now, and Vlad. I mean, Vlad's a great player, but it's not his best season, and the fact that Ben Rice is behind him. And then the argument kind of popped in my head. Ben Rice has played a lot of games at DH, and he's kind of split at first base a little bit, but he's played a decent amount of games at first base where I feel like that argument really doesn't matter. And he's just been hitting the ball really well. And he's been one of the best parts of this Yankees offense. And without Judge being here, he's pretty much the main guy aside from Cody Bellinger. So it's just the fact that Toronto has a whole country voting for their players. And I'm not saying that Vlad is bad or anything, but I definitely don't think he should be above Ben Rice, specifically for this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's that. I also think that, you know, a lot of people who vote for the All-Star voting maybe are not watching every team or know what's happening and are just voting for their guys. We could talk about the National League All-Star voting a little bit. I quite frankly, when I looked at it, thought it was pretty good. The two catchers are Drake Baldwin and Will Smith, who have been the two best catchers so far this season. Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson have been the two best first basemen. Ozzie Albies and Bryson Stott have been up there as the two best second basemen. Alec Bohm is not even close to the second, third baseman. But Max Muncy is one. He's got a 900 OPS. He's been the best third baseman in the NL. CJ Abrams, Mookie Betts has been horrible offensively. He shouldn't be up there. Ohtani and Schwarber are fine, obviously. You know, the outfield is whatever it is. Jordan Walker, I don't know if you guys have been following him, has been having an incredible year for the Cardinals. He's like a top 10 player of the game now all of a sudden. He is nowhere to be found on the list. But, you know, I think some of it is like, you know, first of all, I don't vote for the All-Star voting. I never have, and honestly, it's just a waste of my time. I'll vote in political elections, but not in, you know, All-Star voting. I just don't really see the point of it. So I don't know if I'm like even allowed to talk about these elections or results that are coming back, polls, whatever you want to call them right now. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think some of them are fine, some of them are not fine. Do I think these guys like really care? I mean, some of the younger ones are probably like, we need to get into the All-Star game. But doesn't after the first, you know, vote getter gets in, it shifts to like more like analysts and the players and teams voting, right? So I think it'll end up fine. It's kind of like the all NBA teams or the MVPs. It's like the fans have like, I don't know, like a 20% input or something like that. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the writers and the people who actually have been watching the season because they do it for a living close. So I think it'll even out out in the end, to be honest.
Isn't it after the first round, like the top five, like in the voting gets picked for the outfield and then they pick between those three. And then like for the infield, it's like the top three and they pick, I could be wrong, but I thought that was how the format went.
I think, and this is just based off memory from years prior, is that it might be the fans who pick like the starters and then the pundits or whatever pick the relievers and the guys who come off the bench who play the same amount of the game because they take all the starters out after the second inning anyway.
And kind of piggybacking off that match, I mean, I was going to ask you guys this. What do you guys think is going to be the starters for both the American League and National League for the All-Star game?
I think we can go through this. I think a lot of the positions have a pretty easy answer. American League catcher is Shea Langeliers, pretty hands down. First baseman should be Ben Rice. Second baseman, Ernie Clement. Third baseman, probably Junior Caminero. Miguel Vargas has had a very good season. JRAM, unfortunately, just recently got hurt. Mikel Garcia had a really good season last year. He's not having that good of a season. Bobby Witt Jr. obviously should be the shortstop. DH should be Yordan. Outfielders, I'm going to exclude Judge purely because he's hurt. Cody Bellinger should be in left field. Byron Buxton should be in center. Right field is a little bit I'm unsure about, and I know that it's not necessarily based on left center and right. It's kind of just three outfielders in general. I'm really not sure about right fields. What do you guys think?
I don't know, that spot's probably gonna go to Judge, but obviously that won't matter. But Mike Trout's been having an okay season. I can see him probably getting the nod because he's also up there.
Plus, everybody wants to see Mike Trout back in the All-Star game.
Yeah,
First
that's
time since 2019. Like, they'll want to see him there.
who are you guys the starting pitcher there, Derek?
I was going to say Cam Schlittler, which is slight bias, but to be fair, he's the only guy in the American League with a sub-2 ERA. And to be honest, if there was one Cy Young vote for the entire MLB, Cam Schlittler would probably be like fourth or fifth, just how good the National League pitching has been. Jacob Mizorowski, Shohei Ohtani, Christopher Sanchez, I'd say are all better than Cam Schlittler. And no offense to Cam Schlittler, or no offense to any of these guys, but the American League just does not have the same pitching that the National League does. It's genuinely insane, some of these starters in the National League.
I think also, I don't know what it is with the pitching. It might be the managers from the past World Series that, I mean, they manage the game, but I think they decide who's the starting pitcher. Like after all the guys get selected to the team, I think they decide who's the starter. I could be wrong again, but
No, you're right, because I remember like each year or whatever, like they'd do a video of whatever of the American League manager telling, we're gonna start Justin Verlander, Dave Roberts telling Paul Skeens, we're gonna start you in the All-Star game and whatever. Remember last year when everyone was like freaking out about like, or the year before, Paul Skeens, he's only pitched two innings. Why are you putting him in the All-Star game? Or Mizorowski, he's been in the league for 2 weeks, and now these guys are like, the second and fifth best pitcher in baseball, or whatever you want to put them in the top five. So I think that's funny that everyone was like wrong about that.
yeah, I think Schneider will give it to Schlueter. He's pitched really good against the Blue Jays in his young career so far, and he had a really good outing. I think he went 7 innings, a wild run one, I think it was last week on the road. So I think Schneider's going to appreciate how good Schlueter's been, give him the nod. But I know the National League, it's a little bit tougher. So I mean, I'm interested to see what you guys have for your starting pitcher rather, for the National League.
For the National League, I would, and Max, I know you probably want to say Shohei. I can't give it to Shohei just purely. I don't think he's like pitched enough innings to like where he's faced enough. I don't know if this makes like not pitched enough innings to really face any danger, because from what I've seen, he doesn't go super deep in games, which makes sense of everything. Jacob Mizorowski with a Maddux full like face the minimum number of batters, I think is genuinely insane, and I think he's the best pitcher in the game right now, and I think it has to go to Mizorowski.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Mizorowski probably he does. I think he probably has a higher ceiling than Ohtani does on the mound, just in terms of pure dominance. He probably has a higher ceiling than anybody because he throws 105 miles an hour and throws like 83 with like 5 feet of movement as well. So I mean, he's incredible. He didn't start, or maybe he did start last year. He was definitely a big part of the game. I think he did start last year, actually, for the National League.
Was it
They
not?
threw.
Was it Skeens? And then,
Thought
well,
it was
Mizorowski.
might have been Skeens.
I think Mizorowski. The thing with him was not him starting, just him being an all-star in general. And the only
Oh,
reason he
okay.
really was an all-star is because so many guys kept saying no, so they had to keep going
Oh,
down the list.
right. Yeah, I remember that. So that tells you how important the All-Star game is. I don't think they'll start Shohei even if he did slash does deserve it because they're not going to waste his innings on the mound in an all-star game. If they do start Mizorowski, he'll throw one inning or three batters, basically. Do you guys like actually care about the all-star game? Because I actually cared about the all-star game like 10 years ago when they actually made it matter because the winner of the all-star game would get home field advantage for the World Series. I know some people are like, oh, that's stupid, it shouldn't matter. I actually thought it was kind of interesting because it made a reason to tune in. Last year I didn't watch the game. The year before I only watched like the first 5 innings. So
I 100% agree. I still watch it and I still think it's very fun, but I do think they should bring that back. I think it was a very different thing that baseball other sports, and I still wholeheartedly agree that the only actually good All-Star events are baseball. I think every other All-Star event or like Pro Bowl or whatever that other leagues do, I think they're not nearly as good as the baseball, like Home Run Derby, All-Star game and everything. I think that they should make it matter again. I do think that the players still try and they do play hard, but I think they would play like it's an actual game if it, and I think it'd just be so much better.
I haven't really tuned in as much as I used to. I'll like pay attention to what the score is and how like the Yankees guys are doing usually when it's most likely always just Judge, but I haven't really paid attention to the All-Star game as much. I always watch the Home Run Derby. That's what I always love watching.
I loved last year with Jazz Chisholm. That was electric.
The good performance.
Didn't
That's
he
one of your
hit four
favorites.
home runs?
Hit three, I
Oh,
think.
three home
I think he
runs.
overshot him.
And now he wants to go 50-50.
Oh God,
Or it's
it
it,
wasn't even close.
it I mean, no, I'm not gonna defend it. But with the National League, All-Star starters, Drake Baldwin's been hurt. But I think even with him being hurt, I think he's still likely the starter.
I think
Because
he's
of.
been great this season. I think they'll give it to him.
Yeah.
I think so too.
The catcher
First.
position is interesting. It's kind of, I don't want to say fallen off, but like last year, who the two best catchers were Raleigh and Smith, and now Raleigh is, I mean, he's not
Not a.
horrible, but he's not hitting 50 home
They.
runs, and Smith is like barely an above average player, so.
It definitely really interesting, and I find it interesting that JT Realmuto is number three, and then William Contreras. Hunter Goodman is underrated still for some reason, even though he gets talked about more than I think, like more than I probably. He doesn't get talked enough about. Like, he doesn't get talked about enough as he should, but he gets talked about more than any other Rockies player.
Right. Well, that's
First.
mostly because I don't think anybody can name another Rockies player.
You know, fair. First baseman, is it still Freddie?
I think Freddie and Matt Olson are like one and two, pretty close.
Who do you give it to, though?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I
It
don't know.
toss up.
It
It's a
definitely
toss
is.
up.
If you
Two
go
guys
either
that have
way,
been
I
to many
wouldn't.
All-Star games.
Yeah, if you go either way, I wouldn't blame you. Second baseman, I'd have to go Bryce Terang. I think he's had an incredible season for the Brewers.
Yeah.
I wouldn't blame you going Ozzie Albies. Luis Arraez also, I think, could be up there. Still batting over 300, and his defense has been very, very good this season compared to every other season of his career.
Yeah, he's been
Yeah,
great
I
at
mean, that's kind
second
of a.
base.
Yeah. I'd probably go Terang, but it, again, there's other two options that are really good. I wouldn't blame you for going that way either.
Yeah. Third base has to be Max Muncy. Shortstop should absolutely not be Mookie Betts. He
No,
shouldn't
it
even be at the
shouldn't.
top five. Trey Turner had a very good start to the season, but fallen off a little bit. CJ Abrams
I think
has been having.
CJ is very good. Very
Ellie De
good.
La Cruz has been having a pretty good season too. That's pretty much it for the pretty good seasons. I can't go Ellie because I have a friend who's a Reds fan and I can't side with the Reds any like no matter what. So I can't choose Ellie. So I'll have to go CJ Abrams.
Yeah, CJ, and then the outfield, right? I mean, I would pick James Wood, who's not even in the top six for me.
No,
He's a
he's number
guy,
seven. He
yeah,
should be.
he should be up there. I don't think it's any bias. I think Páez has been one of the best players in baseball this year. He should be starting in center field. And then
I agree.
right field should be Jordan Walker. Like, those are my three.
I agree with that. Brandon Marsh should definitely, I think, be up there. He's really good bat to ball skills. Corbin Carroll, Juan Soto probably should be. Brandon Marsh, Corbin Carroll, Juan Soto should probably be the back three. But I agree with Jordan Walker and Andy Páez. Andy Páez has been having a really good season.
Well, those three guys that like aren't like the biggest superstars entering this year, but have played really good, and they're just kind of just flying under the radar because some of the other popular teams are outvoting them, or something like just they see them and they see their name, and they're like, oh, they're definitely not having an all-star season. Let's go with the regular guys like Soto
Yeah.
and a bunch of Dodger players and Philly players.
I mean, again, Ronald Acuña number two, and he's been having a really good season when he's on the field, but he didn't start the season and he's hurt again. So again, when he's on the field, he's very, very good, but just he hasn't played enough games.
Yeah, it sucks with Acuña. I mean, he is one of the most fun players to watch in the game, but it just can't stay healthy. Ever
He's one
since
of the
that Achilles, he just hasn't been on the field. It's been like
He's
3
one of the
years
few
now.
guys. He's one of the few guys that could take an MVP from Shohei, with when Shohei's having a good season. Like, one of the very few guys that could do it. And
Right.
obviously, Shohei's going to be the DH for the National League. There's no question about that.
I also don't think, as we get towards like the end of the season, that even if he's up there, that Shohei is going to win the Cy Young, because there's no way the Baseball Writers Association of America is going to want to give the same guy an MVP, which he will win if he stays healthy doing pitching and hitting, and the Cy Young. Like, they'll never want to do that, I think. So they'll give it to Sanchez or Mizorowski or Skeens if he has an incredible second half, and those other two guys regress a little bit.
I think honestly, he might not even have the choice of that because of just how good Mizorowski and Sanchez have been. And Paul Skeens a little bit not having a bad season, but like just had a couple bad starts kind of affected, but he's still been great. But Mizorowski has just been incredible. Sanchez, incredible. He had the streak of what was it, like 44 innings without giving up a run?
Yeah, it was something like that. I mean, I think Shohei's been right up there, man. He had a 0.7 ERA
He's
through
definitely
his first
close. He's
10
close, yeah.
starts.
He's close.
He's right there with these guys. We need to get Dodgers. We need to get Mizorowski and Sanchez to that Vegas stadium so they give up like 11 runs, and then Shohei's Cy Young candidacy is right back up at the top.
That's dirty. Can't have that. Cannot have that. I'm a D1 Shohei hater, and it's been hard to hate these days. It's hard to do it because of just how incredible he's been doing everything. It's really hard out here.
Yeah, well, we only got about 5 minutes left. I think our listeners want us to probably touch on the Mets, so let's do that for whatever is remaining in this show. The Mets, I guess for the moment you can say they're trying to treading water. They are losing series, winning a series, but what they are back now is I think 6.5 of games of the wild card. It's not crazy in June. People make up those differences. But the issue is there's so many great National League teams, and they're gonna have to jump like seven or eight teams in order to get into the postseason, and they're dealing with so many injuries that even if these guys do come back, I don't know if they've got the firepower come October to really make a run through the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's not crazy the fact that they're that much games out of a wild card spot. I mean, anybody could really make a run late. Like, I mean, we saw them do it a couple of years ago when they made the postseason, made the NLCS. They weren't really in the playoff picture, and then they found themselves in a wild card spot. But Max, you make a great point. A lot of good NL teams this year, mostly everybody's sitting really above 500, and the Mets aren't even like third or fourth in the division. They're gonna have to jump some teams in their division as well. I mean, they're the last team in their division. They're 13 and a half games out of the first spot, and you said it before, they seem to win series and lose series. I mean, they're sitting at a dead like 5-5 their last 10, so it's the definition of just kind of back and forth between this Mets team.
Yeah, I mean, 3.5 in last place behind the Marlins, and then another 2 games behind the Nationals, who have been very, very good offensively, but very, very bad pitching wise. But they found their way 3 games above 500. The Phillies just above them, So, I mean, the Mets, like you said, they have teams to climb just in their own division, let alone the rest of the league. And the National League being so strong and having a start where you're 8 games below 500 at mid-June, unless you go on an incredible stretch, and it's not impossible to think about the Mets maybe doing something, but with just how good everyone around them is, I mean, you throw them in the American League, and honestly, there's not really much sweat if the Mets can go on any kind of run. You can have a good American League wild card spot, but with just how competitive the National League is, I don't know. Unless they go on some incredible OMG Mets run again, it's hard to see them kind of climbing out of this hole they've dug.
No,
A
I
question
th yeah,
I
do
have for the
so.
Mets, sorry, Max, is once they get to the trade deadline, if they continue to stay the same or even worse, do you think they possibly sell some of their guys? I know Freddy Peralta's name has kind of been thrown around because they'll be coming up trying to sign with a new team by the end of this year. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, no,
I
I think they definitely will sell. I was actually just getting there before you so rudely and then kindly interrupted me. But yeah, you mentioned Peralta. Devin Williams is on a 1 year contract. Luke Weaver, I think, is on a, or no, Devin Williams signed like a 3 year contract, but they could still look to get rid of him. Same with Weaver. Again, bullpen arms are a lot. Yankees, those would be two guys. Bolster the bullpen, Williams and Weaver. That would be
We
fun,
already tried
huh?
that. They already did that. It did not work. Not about to run that back. Not about to do that. Although I do miss Weaver.
I'd bring Weaver back.
I don't know.
He was
I
so good for
don't.
them in 24.
Yeah, but then the end of 25, it's oof.
It's rough. Yeah.
I also disagree with you. I don't think the Mets sell. I think they've bought too much that you can't turn back. I don't think you can turn back at this point.
Yeah.
Especially
Maybe.
with what well, you're talking about getting rid of their pitching, but their pitching is the main part that they need. So if anything, if they're going to sell, they're going to get rid of some bats, I think. Because the pitching is really the part where they've struggled a lot. And it's not much about the pitching they have, it's just inconsistency and depth. And
Yeah,
I they don't have enough starting pitching depth.
and Stearns is one of those guys that he just does not like to admit when he made a mistake. He's not going to fire
Exactly.
his manager. He's one of those Harvard like business guys that the Astros brought in during their whole 2011 renovations. So I don't think he's going to make a mistake. But that will pretty much do it for us here on Nosebleeds. I'm Max Langer alongside Anthony Smith and Derek Bolio. Thanks so much for joining us, and stay tuned next week for the next episode of Nosebleeds.
Thank you.